Welcome to episode 10 of Tree Speak on the Air. I'm Spirit.
I'm Dr. Bionicle.
And I'm Lady Gabaka.
Okay, over to Dr. Bionicle with the BZ Power Report.
Well, we don't have much today. The RPG contest polls are up. There are 5 polls. If you didn't know, the RPG contest is a contest where the contestants will create their own text RPG, and the winner of that contest will be one of 2 text RPGs in the RPG forum. So, it's a pretty big honor there. Paraka Tech, the full version, not just the demo at Cartoon Network, is up on Bionicle.com. There are 30 levels, and it features all the Paraka and the Matoran. The objective of this game is to shoot as many Matoran as you can and get to the final level. There's not much storyline behind it, except that the Matoran simply escape, and the Paraka have to Zamor all of them. And that's basically all the news we have today.
Okay, on to the discussion topics. Topic 1, Matsunui Online Game 1 is back.
I found that after I got into it, I was able to sail through the first part really easily, because, you know, that's the part that everybody remembers, saving Gakkoro and the Tarkaba battle and everything, and Lee Koro. But then when I got to places like Kokoro, which were, like, at the very end, and places that I had to work really hard on, I didn't really, I forgot a lot of stuff. Like, in the one part where you unfreeze Kopek, I just kept walking around in circles because I didn't realize that he'd walked off into another part of the screen that I could go to. So I just kept clicking and clicking and going around in circles. And eventually, I accidentally bumped the mouse and it turned and I saw Kopek waving at me or something. So, yeah.
Well, when I first played, I went to the Charred Jungle first, went to Taco first, I can't remember why. And then I got lost. I felt really embarrassed. I'm like, what is this? Lost?
It's so easy.
So
yeah, that was the one place.
Wandering around, I finally got out.
Because, you know, you can move around and you go in a complete circle all around. So you can go off, like, these 6 different paths. And it's really easy to get lost in there.
Oh, yeah. Did you notice when you were playing that they changed the word Tohunga to Matoran, but they didn't change any other of the copyrighted names?
Oh, yeah. I noticed that.
Yeah, I did, too. I was like, wait, wasn't that supposed to be Tohungu? And no, it was Matoran, so it was weird.
I just noticed that every time Jollert talks, I don't know why, I didn't notice this when I was like 9, but whenever Jollert talks, he always taps his foot. So there are all these little loop things, like, well, let's see, I'm trying to think of another one. I didn't notice this before because I was young and stupid. But they did a whole bunch of sort of cop-outs. Not really cop-outs, but just little loops that go over and over. Like when you're in Pokora, you can see people doing stuff over and over. And like the whole Koli Ball thing in the Koli Ball Stadium. I'd never really noticed that before, but I noticed that now. I find it annoying that you always have to go through this long cutscene whenever you play for the Kiwabird.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you just have to watch this thing flap up, and it looks like a stupid bird to me, but it just comes, flies up, and it takes forever, and then you finally get on it.
I think I ignored that. It didn't bother me. I have patience.
I don't. It was funny watching Matoro translate for Turaga Nuju, just for me, because he's making all these emphatic motions with his arms. Like, every time Nuju's talking, Matoro's always spreading out his arms and pointing up at the sky and everything.
It's dramatic.
This time through, I noticed a lot more things on the Kokoro temple walls, because I can read the Matoran language now.
Oh, yeah.
Before. So it's like stuff from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And also, there's a copyright thing about Lego in Switzerland.
When I first played the game, Onukoro was a nightmare. I could never find my way to Onukoro until I memorized some landmarks. If I entered Onukoro, it would take me days to get out, because I couldn't read the language, so I would always be wandering around and end up in some random place outside that I didn't want to go to at all. And I eventually just had to memorize, like, when you're going through the tunnels and it splits off into a fork, you have to memorize that left is Sakoro and right is Pokoro. Now that I can read the language, it's a lot easier now. Some of the signs I can actually read and say, oh, that's what it says. And before, it was all just gibberish to me.
There was a joke that I got the first time when I played, beside the guy outside Onukoro, where he has all the Usul crabs, says taxi crabs. And that made me laugh.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. I don't remember Hafu being so egotistical. So I forgot a lot of Matoran's personalities. Like, you know, when you see Kongu, he talks and he doesn't use a lot of conjunctions and stuff. Kind of like Tarzan.
Well, with Hafu, I noticed I didn't notice the difference in his egotisticalness, but I did notice he used a lot of Italian hand gestures. So as he's looking at the carving of the Masanui totem, he's like doing that thing that Italian chefs do.
Fragile! It must be Italian!
You know what I love about Kopech? You first come up to him, and you start talking to him, and the first thing he says is dot dot dot. That's the first thing he ever says to you. And everything he answers, it's like one word or three words or whatever it takes. He doesn't go into any detail at all. I also don't remember the Licoro band and the dance thing. That was interesting to watch. If you'll notice, the flute player headbangs. If you watch the Licoro band scene, it's a headbang thing that he does. He does a few notes on the flute, and then he puts it down, and he starts like waving his head really violently up and down. And I'm thinking while I'm watching this, he's a flute player. It doesn't seem all that hardcore to me.
Hard metal has affected everyone, I think.
It's a tribute to rock and roll.
Well, I noticed a lot this time through that they talk about Mato as the singer, and he doesn't sing. Like, when you see his personality from Bionicle 2 and 3 and the Bionicle Adventures books, he's not really a singer, and then his other personality, so that must have been something that Templar just made up. But I just noticed a lot how they say, oh, there's Mato the singer.
That would be interesting, because from what you pick up, Mato's like Irish, so he's an Irish old guy singing. That's interesting. The whole thing just brought back, like, a whole bunch of memories. Like, you know, I'd kind of forgotten what the Toads were really like until I started playing the game again. Like, how you interact with Tohatsu and you see that Toa meeting and everything, that gives you a whole, the old perspective I had on them before.
I never played it. This is the first time, so I was, like, so excited to.
On to topic 2, Piraka Attack. So this is the newest game on Bionicle.com. And kind of involves a twist to the games we're usually used to, where you're the good guy. This one, you play the bad guy.
Dun dun dun. Well, it's definitely a new style. It's got more of a cartoony style to it, if you'll notice. Like, the Matoran and everybody aren't exactly so set specific as they are in, like, other games that they've done.
Yeah. It looked boring at first, but then I played it, and I was, like, so hooked to it, I could not stop playing the thing. It's just so fun, you shoot at everything.
Because what I hate the most is Velika. If he's alone, he's a wimp. You can shoot him once, he's dead. But if there's like 18 of them, like you get up to like in like levels like 18, 19, then I hate the guys because they're everywhere. And if the Balta guys are backing them up, they're faster and everything. And so that's really not fun at all.
In the higher levels, they just practically do away with him. It's just pretty much the Pirok that's swarming everywhere, and you have to shoot him like 3 times. Stuck on level 30 because of
it.
They all have their strengths and weaknesses. The Velika, they are wimps, but they have a lot of number. Piruk is fast, and he takes longer to shoot, but there's not as many of him.
Well, everyone except for Velika takes longer to shoot.
Well, yeah. Kazi, he's able to shoot, but you're able to take him down in 2 shots, and he's pretty slow. Garen, he's a pretty scarce number. He needs to charge for a while before he shoots.
Yeah, it's practically the only one that's true to the story, because it gets bigger the further it goes.
Yeah.
The one I hate is Dalu because of her rapid fire, so I'm just dodging them. That's horrible because I have a wireless desktop, so when the buffer overloads, my computer beeps loudly, so I'll just be going along and hear beep, beep, beep. I'm trying to dodge it, and then...
My rule of thumb in Piraka Attack is always shoot the shooters first.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to walk to you. Just shoot them first. Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah. That's my philosophy for the game. A lot of the Matoran, they have weaknesses to power-ups. Like, with Piruk, a lot of his strength lies in the fact that he takes so long to shoot, and he's fast. But if you get the long shot, you're able to take him out in 1 shot.
Yeah.
And the same with a lot of other guys.
Kills everyone in 1 shot.
Who would you say is your favorite Piraka to play as?
I like Redox. I just like him a lot.
It's probably a tough one, because I usually pick depending on what level is, so if I keep on losing with one, I switch to another. But so far, Vizok hasn't really steered me wrong.
Mine would definitely be Hakan. The thing about the other Piraka is that they have strengths, yeah. They've got like 4s in intelligence and 4s in strength and everything, but in that, they also have weaknesses. And weaknesses are the things that always kill me. Because, you know, if I have a strong Piraka, but I have a slow Piraka, then I'm dead. If I have an intelligent Piraka, but I don't have a, you know, agile Piraka, then I'm dead. Nice thing about Hakan is he doesn't have any particular strengths, but didn't have any particular faults either. I always just play as him, despite the fact that I hate his guts. What Matoran tends to kill you the most?
Ozzy.
I don't know why. Ozzy is always for me. Annoying.
Well, now that I'm on level 30, at the beginning, all the Matoran rush you, and when you start off, there are a whole bunch of Belta, so they pretty much kill me the first time. I teleport somewhere else, and they kill me. Then I have one life left. I shoot around, and then I have about halfway done, and then they kill me. That really annoys
me. For me, it all kind of depends on the situation. Well, I'm usually killed by Kazi because I don't pay much attention to him since Garen and Dalu were always running around. So he always tends to catch me off guard. But if there are a lot of Balta and Velika, then they're definitely going to kill me unless I manage to get a tri shot or a shield. Because I cannot just take all those guys at once. And what's so annoying is that they're all over the screen so that if you teleport to somewhere else, they'll kill you immediately. Either one's really annoying. I've never been killed by Garen, ever. I've been killed by everybody else, but not by Garen.
I've been killed by everybody. I've even been killed by myself.
Yeah.
Like, when I become Bog, I'm too fast, so I just crash into pits and die.
Yeah. When I first entered the fire level, I come in through the entrance, and immediately I go forward and I turn right, and I suddenly disappear, and I suddenly realize that those orange things are lava pits.
I went into the middle, and I thought, oh, this is a nice safe spot. You lose. No!
Yeah, I was thinking, this is too easy. And I turn right. Ah! Some of the environments are really weird. Like the colorful beachy environment, which
that
is kind of weird, because it has these, cartoon seashells
like,
and stuff all over.
The strangest was the earth one.
Yeah. One thing that tends to kill me is that you know the Matoran always come out of those little doors? Mm-hmm. And you always exit out of this door from the bottom of the screen. And so they can come out of that one, too. So this one time I had this brilliant idea. That I would just stay at that door because they all are going to have to approach me and that's going to give me time to shoot them. So I'm on a roll here. I'm shooting the Velikas, I'm shooting everything, and then suddenly I just vanish and I see a Balta like right where I was and I think, no! And so then I get teleported into all these stupid places and I die. So just stay out of the doors and the corners. There's no really safe spot. The corners kill you, the doors kill you, the pits kill you.
Well, if you pick Vizok, who has rapid fire, then you can pretty much defend your corner.
The nice thing about any Baraka is that the ammo power-ups, they last for however long, although I'm not sure about this, but I think with some Baraka, it'll give you less ammo.
Yeah, it's based on their intelligence levels. So Zaktan has 5
nice
intelligence, so he gets 20 times 5. For the guy who has 1, he gets 20. 240.
Well, the nice thing about the ammo power-ups is that you can store them up. Like, and if you can keep getting the same ammo, you can get a nice supply of, like, the tri-shot or the rapid-fire or whatever you need. And that's a pretty good idea, because if your ammo just fades away, then you're kind of cut off guard. So if you have this little status bar that you keep track of, then that'll give you a better idea of how to maneuver the situation. I think this whole thing sounds so complicated.
Yeah, we're making it sound more serious than it is.
Well, all things in Bioware are serious. I mean, it's like, not like it's a child's toy or something.
It's a 9 to 12 kid's toy, basically. Yeah. The only thing really very serious about it is the storyline.
Exactly.
Because if I were to look at a Toa Tahu without knowing anything about the storyline, I would probably laugh. Because he would probably look really ridiculous to me otherwise. I mean, he looks cool and everything, but he looks kind of weird. But with the open mouth mask and everything, it kind of makes him look like he's screaming or singing or something. And it looks... when I first saw him, I thought his hand was on fire. Because that's exactly what it looks like, except for that little bit down there. It looks like his hand is on fire. So I was started wondering about that. Well, we've already juiced this topic clean since we're starting to go off.
Topic 3, the new LEGO magazine. So this is with the new supersized first issue of Volume 2 of Bionicle.
Yep.
This is a new series called Ignition.
Yep.
Illustrated by Stuart Sager.
Yep.
Okay, shut up.
I was never a big fan of, like, the original comic artist.
Dando?
Yeah, him. The one who did from Toolda to the Borok. I think they switched to Elliot after around the Borok cow. Yeah, I really liked his style, because it seemed really pretty extreme, and really, it took some creative liberties on the sets, but you could still tell that they were the same sets. And Stuart Sage just kind of done the same thing.
I didn't really like his style because it was kind of far away from the set, but not cool looking like Sager's is. It was just kind of hard to tell what some things were. Mm-hmm. Like, when I looked at Comic 1, it took me like several years to tell that Kopaka was attacked by Inui Rama.
Well, yeah, but he's supposed to be off in the shadow. Well, it wasn't a very good view anyway. That was probably a lot because you're looking at the bottom of the Inui Rama, and I've never seen the bottom of a Inui Rama, so I'm not very good at identifying them from that angle. But you could make it out, sort of. The Duma drawing style didn't exactly strike me as brilliant, but he did some stuff really well. Like, I liked that one Zamorod Matoran that was blue, lightish blue, with the claws and everything. That was a pretty cool looking thing.
Yeah, with the weird eyes. Well, what do you think of inventing all these new masks?
Well, I don't mind, really. A tiny spoiler here. Since they're supposedly all fixed, quote-unquote, by Karzani, that's why they have their deformed shapes, and that's probably why they have their twisted masks at the same time. So I think that basically fits the storyline pretty well. And it's just a nice way to search his style. His sort of a, I don't know, what you might call it, dark, extreme style. One of my favorite scenes in the comic, well, my favorite lines, anyway, was where Thok is just pushed right off over. You know, he's heard the volcano rumble and everything, and he's talking about how the other Majoran all have to work harder. And then Rydek comes back and blasts him. And this is probably one of my favorite lines in Bionicle history, but it was something like, that was a long fall down the mountain, long climb back up too. It's an experience you shouldn't miss. How about I throw you over the cliff and see how many times you bounce at the bottom? Won't that be fun? That sounds just so casual gangster type style. It was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
I just love how...
Are you sure this was in the comic?
Oh yeah, that was in the comic. I
have it right before me.
I was paraphrasing, really. It's not the exact line, but...
No, I have the page right in front of me and no one falls off the cliff.
Half an hour later, Spirit, Lady Kopaka, and Dr. Bionicle discover that Spirit is missing two pages from his comic.
Maybe it's just because you're Canadian or something.
Ooh.
That's not an insult. Canadians usually miss out on.
Shut up, you American! You always talk, you Americans! You talk and you talk and you say, let me tell you something, and I just wanna say this. Well, you're dead now. So shut up!
Well, now that we've established that, I guess we can move on.
What do you think of this comic compared to the others? For, like, two comics, Bionicle did mini ones in the Borat Call series.
Tiny, teeny ones. Now I have a super size.
Yeah, that was just kind of cheap.
Yeah.
As much as I liked the Borat Call, I didn't care too much for the comics at that point. That was when Elliot took over.
Oh, I have to go.
Lady Kopaka is being teleported to a wonderful new dimension called reality. Anyhow, back to the comic. I thought the name and the logo look really cool. The logo looks awesome. It's like takes some liberties and whatnot.
Ignition.
Fits the title. The cover is pretty cool, with Thok emerging and looking psychotic and whatnot, and the thrashing canister. And of course the whole logo thing over there, and the super size and whatnot. So something I noticed is that his arm kind of disappeared. Well, not really disappears, but kind of just punies off.
It's in the distance.
Yeah, the distance. It's the arm that's facing you, so... Oh, wait, no, it's not. Okay, never mind.
Hang on. Both his arms are on the same side of his spine. I just noticed that.
Funny.
He needs a chiropractor.
Well, the first really cool part that I saw was when Rydok emerges from his canister. That really gave the whole sinister thingy. Rydok looks pretty cool there, looking all menacing. It goes over BL1 really fast, and then we jump back into the current story. Well, actually, it does go over BL2 slightly. It's after BL2, after they get defeated. Yeah. See, one part I really liked was when Hakan and Zaxxon were arguing, because you got to see a little mini duel there, and you got to see Zaxxon's power and Hakan's powers going to work, like with Hakan's mental stabs and. Zaxxon going into prototypes looks pretty cool with the whole sort of exploding running effect that he used in the comic. And I think it's interesting how he manages to keep his head and everything up and the prototypes just sort of swarm throughout the air. And he's able to keep solid parts of his body up while he can separate into prototypes elsewhere. Like you'll notice that his arm stays up to hold his weapon and everything, but his whole torso has separated into prototypes, and his head still stays up there and everything.
Yeah, well, that's the only part he needs to separate, because He's just dodging the blast.
What I notice is that Baraka are basically, I wouldn't even call them villains, I call them criminals, because villain seems, sounds a little too formal for them. They're just really pretty casual.
Yeah, well, that's so what Baraka means.
Well, yeah. So they're just really casual, which is something we've never seen before in villains, which I think is pretty cool. And another thing is that they aren't working for anybody this year. They're all for themselves. Why they're Baraka is because they split away from the Dark Hunters. They formed their own little group. So they're basically independent, kind of don't realize the entire situation, which I find interesting about the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Implied at the beginning when we first found out about the ancient evil and how the Baraka doing something with the mask unleashes it.
Yeah.
Topic 4, the RPG contest. Originally when we recorded the show, this was well before the RPG contest, so we didn't have much to say about it. But now that you've won the RPG contest, there's a lot more to say about
it. Yes, there is.
So how does it feel to have won?
This is the first contest I've ever actually won, much less gotten past the pre-poll. I was kind of amazed at the majority of votes I had. I remember having about 60 votes in the final poll, which was pretty cool for me.
Out of how many?
Let's see. I'm not sure. I know that the second place had like 40-something, so it was well over 100, I think.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all. Running the RPG has been fun. Although it's been a little nerve-wracking so far, because every time I come back to it, I usually have about 3 pages that I have to read all of. Isn't a very invigorating experience.
I imagine not.
Well, yeah, but the nice thing about it is that my character is the big bad guy, so whenever I come in, I get to lay down the law in some way, shape, or form. Evil old guy.
I don't quite remember, so can you submit your RPG for next contest?
I can, but I don't need to edit it or anything. I can simply submit the RPG, and people, if they like to keep it up, then they can vote for it again, if they want. And the other winner can do the same thing.
So do you have any tips for, I don't know, people who want to win the contest?
People really like an original idea. So if you're going to do something like you're a Toa, and you have to beat a bad guy, that's not going to run well. I spent a good deal of the entry period just thinking up an idea. I was lucky, though, because I had the idea in mind beforehand. So if you can just come up with something that's completely just outside the box, people are going to like that, usually. Another tip I'd give is to make it complex enough so that people wouldn't get bored of it very easily or that it's too open, but not to make it so complex that people won't read it.
There were some there that had unnecessary description. Like what each of the locations look like. Like, oh, this one has lots of trees, and the trees are green.
Yeah.
Now, that really doesn't matter.
Just give all the information they're going to need to know, because they're not going to be interested in what they don't need to know. They'd rather make that up, really.
Mm-hmm.
And make it so that the RPG is open. Like, don't make it a very specific RPG where it's going to end before 10 pages or something. But don't make it so open that they can just do anything they want, because that isn't a very fun RPG.
Mm.
And also, don't enter if you're not willing to actually run the thing. Because trust me, it's a lot harder than it looks. Just staying updated, and I've only been doing this for like a week now. A little rundown.
Is getting your RPG up the only prize?
Besides the 3-month glory, yes, that is the only prize. You don't get any sort of physical prize except that. You do get like the satisfaction and the... You get to run the RPG and everything, but the only real prize you get is putting up the RPG, having it be official and everything.
Well, do you think you'll be entering this RPG in the next contest, or is it, like, too hard
for you? Oh, no, I'll definitely be entering the next contest. I just hope it gets voted for again. As aggravating as this is, it gives me something to do. So, you think you'll be entering this any RPG contests in the future?
I might enter the next one, basing it on my epic, which is about... an alternate universe where the island of Matanui is at war, so I think that would end up making a very good RPG because people pick sides and fight each other. And that's pretty much what RPGs are all about.
Sides are good. It's nice to have little denominations so that people can sort of have a vague grasp about what side they're on. I would encourage anybody who's really up to it to enter, because if you actually win, it's a really great experience, and just making the RPG itself is really just fun and really... pushes you a little bit, pushed me past my limits, really, because had this been a contest I wasn't really interested in, I would have done something a lot simpler and a lot less in-depth, and I probably wouldn't have won at all. Yeah, I'd encourage anybody to really enter the next contest.
Have you found that anyone's joined the RPG and then just quit? Like, they've given you, like, what they look like and stuff, and then they just never post again?
There are a few members who I think, not to point anybody out specifically, but I think one of the first people, I think maybe the very first person who ever put up a profile only posted once and never came back. But it's only been a week, so I don't know. Some people have been more active than others. There are some people who have just been all over this thing, and they're the ones that are making these three pages. And there are some that just come in and out and just post their 2 cents and then leave for a while. Yeah, it's interesting to see those people develop, to see who's really into it and who's really cooking up everything and who's tagging along.
How does it feel to be the first person ever to have won this contest?
Well, I'm not the first person ever. There's also Vakama, Metru, Toafire.
So how did it stack up to yours in votes? Like, who got more votes?
I got more votes. I actually had a pretty good lead. It was, like, just about all the other polls. It started out pretty close. Like, I had about 8. Everybody else had about 6, 4. And then it really started piling up. I thought that maybe I wasn't going to make it through the final poll. I wasn't really expecting to, but I was encouraged by the preliminary poll I was in. It really just started stacking up, and pretty soon I was, like, 10, 15 ahead of the rest, which was pretty cool for me, since I've never actually even gotten past a preliminary poll before. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I won Epic Fest, because in the preliminaries I kind of did okay. I almost got creamed in the second round, and then I just was kind of worried at the beginning of the finals. Then I went on vacation, came back, and found out that I won third place.
I had a pretty good lead throughout the whole poll. I wasn't very sure about the final poll. The pre-poll, it was really close at first. I was actually behind Shadows in the Light, which was another finalist by Toatilius, and I was behind him for a little while. Then I just kind of burst ahead and got pretty far ahead in there, too. But I was almost sure that I was going to get knocked out by some amazing entry that I hadn't faced yet. And it turns out that I got lucky enough to not. That's basically how it went. But it's really pretty cool to have been one of the first people to win this contest and actually have won it, like, with a good lead instead of being 2 votes away from everybody else. It's nice to know that I had a good majority of people on my side for the first contest, and I'm hoping that's going to last for at least a few contests. Maybe it'll die out the next contest. Maybe something more popular is going to come in, but I'm hoping that it can last for a while.
That ends the discussion part of the show. As for the poll, I got a few more votes, but keep on sending them in, because either next show or the show after, it's going to be completely redone with a whole bunch of new staff, which means that we won't have to worry about missing shows and stuff, because there'll be enough people that we can have them every single
week.
Which
means you probably won't see me for a long time.
Massive celebrations across the world.
Well, I wasn't sure about the world. I was thinking maybe a few small countries. The world that works.
That wraps it up for episode 10 of Tree Speak on the Air. I'm Spirit.
And I'm Dr. Bionicle. Wait. Turn off your stupid phone. Please. This is for the blooper section. If we posted these whole episodes, then people would probably get bored really fast. I'm never going to say hobby horse again.